The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. There are people who seem to bestow happiness and good fortune upon all whom they encounter. Their very presence is an enchanted thing. However, just as we have those who bring the sunshine, there are also those who bring the rain. And not just the occasional refreshing sprinkle or the useful beneficial shower, but a cloudburst. Is there really and truly such a thing as a jinx? Is our fate cast forever at the moment of conception?
They die because I fall in love with them.
Yes, it's that simple.
But you haven't told me how it works, Lieutenant.
Well, I don't know how it works. It's nothing that can be proved, but whenever you fall in love with a man, it seems he dies.
And I kill them.
Well, they die. It's a matter of statistics. Four men have been engaged to you. All four died of various causes. But there's one constant. You were in love with each of them.
Really?
Yes, Miss Butler. Just because you fell in love with them, they're dead.
Well, then, Lieutenant, be very careful. I just might fall in love with you.
Our mystery drama, The Lady is a Jinx, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build Le Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick Le Sabre, free spirit in the family size.
If I am drinking too much, that's my problem. It doesn't hurt anyone but me.
And your wife.
Oh, cut it out.
And your kids. And the people you work with. And your friends.
If someone close to you has a drinking problem, it's your problem, too. Help him. Write Alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. A public service message by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Ahmed is rattling his pan, begging for food. If he doesn't get it, he's going to die. Ahmed lives in Pakistan, and he's only 11 years old. He needs our help. George W. is an alcoholic. He wishes he weren't, but it's a disease, and he wants to get rid of it so he can once again support his family and bring dignity back into his life. Most of us are much better off. We have enough food to eat, and we have good health. When worshiping God, we express our thanks. But God wants more from us than thanks. We must do something for those of us not so well off. This year, while celebrating America's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans to help relieve suffering. You'll end up helping yourself as well. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you could know the last day, the last hour, the last minute of your life, would you want to? Kevin Lindstrom never thought much about that sort of thing. Why be concerned with death while there's so much to live for? Especially now, when he's about to marry Carolyn Butler. Lovely Carolyn, the golden girl. This is his last night as a bachelor. And Kevin walks home from Carolyn's house, as the poet would say, in a transport of delight. The moon is smiling, the stars are winking, and perhaps that's why Kevin does not notice the car that has silently rounded the corner
and is pulling up alongside him. And even if he did notice, there would be absolutely nothing he could do about it, because the man sitting next to the driver has thrust the muzzle of the submachine gun out the window. At least it was swift, even merciful. He never heard the shots. He never knew what hit him.
Are you Lieutenant Pirelli? They said you were in charge of the investigation.
Can I help you?
I thought I might be able to help you.
Oh, well, if you have any information that could lead to the apprehension of the killer or killers of Mr. Kevin Lindstrom, we'd appreciate it.
My name is Martha Lindstrom. I'm Kevin's sister.
Oh. Well, Miss Lindstrom, your brother was killed by accident.
I'm not so sure of that.
Miss Lindstrom, he bore a remarkable resemblance to a hoodlum named Jack Mace. It was uncanny. Certain people were out to get Jack
Mace. I don't think it happened that way, Lieutenant.
Miss Lindstrom, this was supposed to be a gangster execution. It went wrong.
I wish I could believe that.
Your brother wasn't a member of the underworld. You must admit that.
Yes.
Nor would the underworld have any reason for killing him, as far as we know.
Lieutenant
Pirelli. And furthermore, this Jack Mace is known to have lived in the neighborhood. So the executioner was sent to dispatch him. And in the darkness, your brother looked enough like Jack.
Everything you're telling me has already been printed by the newspapers.
Well, it's a matter of time, but we'll find out who's responsible for your brother's death.
But I know who's responsible.
Surely, Miss Lindstrom, you're not an expert in the machinations of the local underworld.
I have a problem, Lieutenant.
Oh, and what's that?
My problem isn't a what, it's a who. You are my problem, Lieutenant. You, as a representative of authority, are my problem. You're nice, you're polite, but you can't wait to get rid of me. You believe I'm wasting your time.
Now, you said you know who's responsible for your brother's death.
Yes. But how can I get you to believe what I'm about to tell you?
All right, why not tell me? See how it works out.
Very well. The killer of my brother, Kevin Lindstrom, is his fiancée, Carolyn Butler.
Yes?
That's my statement.
Oh. So what you're saying is that Miss Carolyn Butler somehow or other obtained possession of a .45 caliber Thompson submachine gun and with this weapon murdered Kevin Lindstrom.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, if that's not what you're saying, you can't say Carolyn Butler is the killer. Your brother died of multiple bullet wounds.
I tell you, Carolyn killed him.
According to the coroner's report...
I don't care about the coroner's report.
Of course, ma'am. Of course. Now, let's just...
Oh, good Lord. You think I'm crazy.
Well, everyone's entitled to his or her own opinion, but an opinion's always worth more if it's based on a fact.
Fact? Yes, that's a sacred word. Yet, what's a fact? Now, stay with me, Lieutenant. A fact is merely an assumption that is legitimized by custom or convenience or the will of the majority. Now, I shall give you a fact. Carolyn Butler has been engaged 4 times. Not one engagement has ever been consummated by marriage. Each engagement has been terminated by the abrupt and violent death of her prospective bridegroom. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, I would say it's a coincidence. Now, Miss Lindstrom...
I know you're eager to get rid of me, and I'm going. But please, Lieutenant, read what I have in this envelope. I'll leave it with you, but promise that you'll read it.
Well, it's our duty to consider all relevant information.
Really read it. And if you need further details, my name and address are all on the back of that envelope.
Oh. Dr. Martha Lindstrom, I didn't know
you were... I'm a PhD. I teach economics at State U.
Oh. Well,
Now you don't know what to say. You don't know what to make of it. You were prepared to write me off as a nut. But a doctor, a college professor, a teacher of a sober science like economics. Facts, figures, statistics.
Yes. A doctor, I'll be in touch. Well, Inspector, what do you think?
Vince, what I think is you ought to put in for some leave. You got plenty of time coming.
Oh, I see.
If you believe a word of this, you got to be as nutty as she is. Maybe it's my fault. I think I've been working you too hard.
Did you read what she wrote?
Every single word. This dame, Carolyn Butler, has been engaged 4 times. Every fiancé meets with a violent death.
That's right.
So what? Miss Carolyn Butler never killed any of them herself. She didn't kill her latest. The guy before was an innocent bystander during a bank holdup. Then there was the guy who was a reserve officer and got killed accidentally on maneuvers. The first guy is scuba diving, and he makes a meal for shark.
Yeah, Inspector, didn't you read what Dr. Lindstrom wrote in her analysis?
Are you sweet on this dame, Vince?
Oh, come on, Jake.
Why not? You're 35. You ought to be married. I know your mom is a great cook, but you want to cut that cord.
When something occurs with regularity, persistence, predictability, it must be classified as fact.
So maybe this is the kind of a dame you've been looking for all your life. The studious, intellectual type.
Jake, you're not listening to me.
You're in love with her.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Don't you understand, Vince? It's love. Love at first sight. This dame knocked you out the split second you saw her.
She isn't even my type.
Famous last words. So you figure, how can I score with her? Hand her a line. Pretend to believe her.
Okay, Inspector Coleman. If you want the truth, I can't remember what that dame even looks like.
Which happened to be true. Well, a couple of weeks later, we bagged the machine gunner, and that was the end of the Kevin Lindstrom murder case. And after a while, I forgot all about it. Until...
Lieutenant.
Oh, Miss, Dr. Lindstrom, what can I do for you? Sit down, please.
Thank you, Lieutenant. I want to apologize. I was angry last time, and I realize now, of course, it's easy to ridicule the police. But if I was sitting in your chair and someone told me the story that I told you, well, of course, I...
All right. How can I help you, Dr. Lindstrom?
Did you by any chance read the Post yesterday? There was an item on the Society page.
Well, I don't usually read
the
Society...
Well, I clipped it out. I'm sure you'll find it of interest.
Okay. Engaged Charles Russell to Carolyn Butler. Well?
Please, read all of it.
Mrs. William Stephen Butler announces the engagement of her daughter, Carolyn Joy, to Mr. Charles Morton Russell, noted actor, son of Mr. and Mrs. Stanley K. Russell. The couple plan to marry Sunday, June 8th at St. Bartholomew's Church.
Yes, now that's exactly 8 weeks from yesterday.
So, Dr. Lindstrom?
I'm asking you, Lieutenant Pirelli, can we permit this young man to die?
I don't think I understand.
I've already told you what happens to the men who are engaged to this woman. Just before the wedding, they die. Suddenly, violently.
We've been through this before, Dr. Lindstrom.
Can you take the chance?
All right, what do you propose we do?
I propose that the police alert this young man. See if reason cannot prevail on him to break this engagement.
Dr. Lindstrom, the police do not have, nor do they want, the right to tell people they can't get married. Now, Dr. Lindstrom, I'm trying to be sympathetic to your problem.
But it's not my problem. It's your problem, Lieutenant. What will your position be if this young man also dies before the wedding? Well, of course. You have no answer. See, you're accustomed to handling regular, predictable problems. And when something of a completely alien aspect emerges, you're helpless.
Now, look, I appreciate how you feel. I wish there was something I could do for you.
But I want to do something for you. We are moving more and more into a psychic age. No, just bear me out. Now, till now, the police have operated on a superficial level. External evidence. The power to kill with a gun or a knife, a weapon. But now, there are people who can kill through the force of the mind.
Dr. Lindstrom,
I know, you're very busy, I know. But she has it. Carolyn Butler has it. She may not be aware of it, but it emanates from her, and it expresses itself through a predatory shark or an imperfect missile, a hoodlum in a bank, a button man. That's the right term, I hope.
Dr. Lindstrom, I don't want to be impolite.
Be impolite. Be anything you want. Be open-minded.
You're asking me to do something, and I don't have the authority.
Well, who does? Who would have the authority to assign round-the-clock guards to this Charles Russell?
The inspector.
Lieutenant, admit there's something, no matter how far-fetched, to what I propose.
Well...
You know there is. So it's your duty to try to convince your superior.
Dr. Lindstrom, what you're asking is
highly... I know. But suppose you do nothing, and this man dies, the way all the others did.
All right. All I can do is ask.
You sure got it bad, Vince.
Inspector, will you get it through your skull? This girl, this lady, means nothing to me personally. I'm not trying to score points. Now, suppose there is something to a story.
Okay, suppose there is.
Well, then we've got to do something to stop it.
We're not set up to stop it. I have no way of justifying this kind of expenditure of manpower.
Okay. Here's a girl who obviously has found some way to get people killed. Now, can she be allowed to get away with murder?
Yes, Vince. Until somebody can furnish legally acceptable proof, this butler dame will get away with murder.
Well, does she or doesn't she? Are we dealing with coincidence or with fact? Or how many coincidences do you need to add up to a fact? And our good Inspector Coleman has also enlightened us on another point. If you can find a way to kill someone that is not specifically prohibited by law, you can, theoretically, get away with murder. I'm going to get away for just a few moments, and then I shall return with Act Two.
This is a routine gun trace request.
Some 3,000 calls a month like this one come into the National Gun Tracing Center from law enforcement agencies throughout the country requesting information on guns used in crimes.
Hello, this is ATF with the gun trace request.
We check with both national and foreign manufacturers and forward the dealer's name to the requesting agency. In some cases, we can do this in a matter of minutes.
I will hold. I'm sorry to report that the owner said the gun was stolen about 6 months ago, and he forgot to report it.
I'm Rex Davis, director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Gun tracing is often the only means of solving a crime. If you secure your gun against theft, you make our job and that of your local police that much easier. Place a complete description of your gun with your other important papers. And if your gun is stolen, report it at once to the police or ATF. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
When a storm's been brewing, whose weather bureau helps your weather bureau give you an early warning?
Who got all of the world's pilots and control towers to speak English so you can land safely no matter where you fly?
Who's just about wiped out smallpox so your kids may never need a vaccination? And who set the standards of purity on the imported food you eat?
Who helps you in dozens of ways you never dreamed of? The United Nations. Find out what the UN's been doing to help you.
Send for the free UN booklet. Write United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. That's United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. There's always been a U in the UN, a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
It is the stated function of the police to prevent crime. So if a policeman sees you in the act of robbing a bank, it's his duty to arrest you. Of course, if all you're doing is thinking about robbing the bank, there's nothing much the policeman can do. And if through some sort of mystical mental telepathy, you can convince somebody else to rob a bank or even to commit a murder, well, not only are the police helpless to act against you, they won't even believe you could do it. And neither would anyone else, except just possibly Dr. Martha Lindstrom.
I'm sorry, Dr. Lindstrom.
You were unable to convince your superiors?
Doctor, what can I tell you? We're practical-minded people, we policemen.
Do you believe me?
I don't know.
Well, if there's any doubt...
I just wish things were easy. I wish everything could be yes or no, black or white. I don't know what to think.
Then that's exactly why you should...
Why should what?
Do something to help save the life of Mr. Russell, who is about to become Carolyn Butler's fifth victim.
But we don't know that. And even if he dies, we can't prove she's guilty.
Well, how many more men must she kill before...
I'll give it to you straight, Doctor. She could decimate the entire city and we couldn't even touch her.
Oh, surely there must be some way.
Yeah, sure, there must be a way, but we don't have it yet. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Well, you've been kind and you've been patient, and I mustn't abuse your tolerance. Goodbye, Lieutenant.
Goodbye, Doctor.
I shall attend to this matter myself.
What do you mean?
Exactly what I said. I shall attend to it myself.
Well, life goes on. And so does death. We get other murders, other problems. And so Dr. Lindstrom sort of slipped out of my mind. Anyhow, one night I'm driving home. I pass a theater. The marquee reads, Charles Morton Russell starring in Don't Kill Santa Claus. On the spot, I decided to see the play. I must tell you, this guy Russell is tall, good-looking, and a pretty good actor. The play isn't much, a bunch of bums sitting around a rubbish-filled room just shooting the breeze. Well,
okay.
Russell's in the
okay.
middle of a long-winded speech.
I did steal his girl, but I did him a favor. He thought, if you kissed a girl, you had to marry her. Do you take this woman, marry her?
Suddenly he stops. He stands there, dead still. He's holding a cigarette, and it just falls from his fingers onto the floor. You can hear a pin drop in the theater. He's frozen and frightened. The curtain comes down, and I go home. But that isn't the end of it. Because the very next day, I'm sitting in the office, and in walks the most gorgeous girl I'd ever seen in my life. Maybe 27, 28. Bright golden hair, deep blue eyes. And she seemed light as a feather. She almost floated into the room.
I may be in the wrong place, but perhaps you can't help me at all. What can I do about a vindictive person who's trying to destroy me?
Well, let me take the information down and make it official. Your name, please?
Carolyn Butler.
Carolyn Butler.
Why do you look at me like that?
Like what?
Do you know me?
Are you the Carolyn Butler who was engaged to, Mr. Kevin Lindstrom?
Oh, yes. Kevin, he was murdered, and you would remember my name in that connection. Well, that is what I want to talk to you about. His sister is trying to destroy me.
How?
Well, it's insane.
What is she doing?
She goes around telling everyone that I'm responsible for Kevin's death. And not only Kevin, but the other man I was engaged to.
Uh-huh. And, how does she do this?
How? She just says so.
What, does she do it in a harassing manner? Does she disturb the peace?
She harasses me. She disturbs my peace.
Now, what I'm trying to discover, Miss Butler, is if we have any grounds for police action.
Well, so am I. This poor lady is... Well, she's sick. She says that I exert an evil influence on the men that I've been engaged to, which causes their death. Now, doesn't that sound sick?
Have all of them died?
Yes. But it's coincidence. I didn't kill any of them.
I see.
Now, what I was thinking is that perhaps you could have someone talk to her, tell her. You see, Kevin was her baby brother. She raised him, sent him to school, and so she resented me because I was stealing her darling little brother. She did everything she could to break us up.
Yeah, but Kevin's dead. Why does she persist with the story?
She believes it. She firmly and devoutly believes that I'm a witch or an evil spirit.
How do you account for the fact that all the men you were engaged to did die suddenly, violently?
Lieutenant, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Am I required to account for it?
Well, do you have an opinion?
Well, obviously, I have a weakness for men prone to accident. But when I think of it, it's more than that. Each of them seemed to have a death wish.
What do you mean?
You're a police officer. You see it. There are those people who go around actively looking for danger. Now, the first man that I loved was a scuba diver. He would swim in dangerous waters, deliberately, it seemed. How long could he gamble with death?
Well...
My second, an army officer, died on maneuvers. He was testing a piece of equipment of doubtful safety. He disobeyed orders, but he wanted to be a hero.
Uh-huh. And the third?
He was killed during a bank holdup.
Well, that wasn't his fault.
Oh, yes. He asked for it. The robbers ordered everyone in the place to put up their hands and stand against the wall. Well, he tried to hit one of the bandits and disarm him.
Which brings us to Kevin Lindstrom. Now, surely
what? Kevin was also looking for death. That neighborhood simply isn't safe, and nobody knows it better than the police.
You mean they have a gangland execution here every night?
You know what kind of a neighborhood it is. Certainly not a place for a late-night stroll. Sane, sensible people who live there don't go walking at that hour. My point is, he shouldn't have been out on the street at all. He should have taken a cab. Martha Lindstrom simply cannot accept the facts of life.
Well, I can't promise anything, Miss Butler, but we'll talk with her.
It's very upsetting to Charles.
Why?
Charles is a very imaginative person. She has been on the phone to him and written him letters and, well, all this interferes with his concentration. It's affecting his performances.
Well, I'll try to talk to to Dr. Lindstrom.
Would you? I would be so grateful.
I don't know what to think, Inspector.
I know what to think. I saw a picture of this Carolyn Butler in the papers. I think you're being unfaithful to Doc Lindstrom.
Oh, Jake, please.
You have these fantasies about things.
According to Carolyn Butler, Martha Lindstrom wanted to hold on to her brother.
I believe it. Women are like that. For instance, does your mother want to hold on to you?
Now, that shows what you know. She keeps blasting me all the time. When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married?
Yeah, sure. So why does she feed you so good? Why does she keep such a comfortable house for you? And why does she find something wrong with every girl you bring home?
Well, because...
Because none of them are good enough for her, son.
Inspector, what do we do about these two dames, huh?
What do we have to do about them?
I've been asked to warn...
No citizen is entitled to use the police force as a private detective agency.
Oh, you're a big help.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if you could marry them both?
Lieutenant Pirelli.
May I come in, Dr. Lindstrom?
Yes, of course. Please, have a seat.
Thank you. I'll come to the point. Miss Butler was in to see me.
Yes?
What you're doing might be construed as harassment. That is, if she wants to take you to court.
I am merely stating an opinion. I'm not being noisy or obnoxious.
Well, all of this could be a matter for a judge to decide.
The wedding is the day after tomorrow. If Charles Russell dies before then, well, it will prove I haven't been noisy enough. If he survives into the marriage, which I doubt, then I will forever hold my peace. Well, my duty is clear. I must go to Charles Russell. I must do anything, everything, to get him to break his engagement to her.
But you can't.
Can you stop me? I have to save his life before it's too late. He's half dead now.
What do you mean, half dead?
The signs are there. The signs that I saw in my own brother, but I couldn't interpret them. At the time, I didn't know what they meant, but they're the signs of death.
What do those signs look like?
Charles Russell is performing tonight. Come to the theater with me. I'll show you.
We have two ladies to deal with now, and each is out to destroy the other. No matter how ladylike they may be going about it, you have finally met the divine Carolyn and heard her story, which does sound reasonable. On the other hand, Dr. Martha Lindstrom is not a woman to be taken lightly either. So, in just a few moments, we shall find out when I return with Act Three, which, as you know, is the point of no return.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
We trust. America speaks. In the words of Thomas Jefferson, I must believe that religion substantially good, which produces an honest life, and we've been authorized by one whom you and I equally respect to judge of the tree by its fruit. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way.
For information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who join the army.
Believe it's possible for someone to be a jinx? Don't answer too quickly. We've done some research. It's an old, old word, jinx. It comes from the Greek enex, which means the wry-necked bird, the bird of ill omen, of misfortune, of death. Well, we're dealing with a pair of what our British cousins would call birds here. But neither is ugly or ill-fashioned. Yet one of them is accused of being a jinx.
What are these signs of death you're talking about, Doctor?
You'll see them. You'll read them on Charles Russell's face. Oh, but I'm being unfair. How can you be expected to understand? You're a rational 20th century person.
And aren't you?
Listen. Listen without interrupting and without arguing. Just listen. What do you think happens to the old gods, the old religions?
Well, I wouldn't know. I guess they were proved false.
But no religion is ever provable. It's only acceptable. People abandon one set of gods and they go on to another. That's the story of history. But what happens to those old gods?
I never thought about it one way or another.
The gods of the ancients, the Greeks, the Assyrians, the Norse, they were all similar.
Now, what does this have to do with...
They were all warriors. War and feasting with heroes, that was their main occupation. And all of them had goddesses who fell in love with earthly heroes and brought them up to heaven, paradise, Valhalla, whatever. Well, who are we to say that they aren't still doing it?
You know, there's a lot to be said for being in uniform out on the beat.
In time of war, you have no shortage of heroes. The field of battle is filled with
them. At least your problems on the street
are simple. But in peacetime, you must find your heroes one by one. And that is what Carolyn Butler is doing.
What? What is Carolyn Butler doing?
The bidding of the gods.
Which gods?
It doesn't matter. And she may not even be aware of it. They may be acting through her. She may be an unconscious instrument.
And you teach economics?
She finds the hero, and then fate arranges for him to die.
Okay. Okay, I think we're at the end of the line, Dr. Lindstrom. For your own good.
Fate. Fate is also an ancient god.
For your own good, you should see a doctor.
Fate arranges for the sharks and the defective weaponry and the bank robbery and the gangland execution. What has been arranged for Charles Morton Russell?
Now, look, all I can do is tell you that if you persist in annoying...
Aren't you curious?
About what?
About how Charles Morton Russell will die?
Who says he's gonna die?
It's the night before she becomes his bride. It's the night he must be killed. Lieutenant, take me to the theater. Watch with me. If nothing happens to that man tonight, then everything Carolyn Butler says about me is true. I'm a jealous sister who has constructed a fantastic fable. But what if he dies?
Well, we went to the theater. And we sat there. And we watched.
And to tell you the truth, I don't believe you.
Well, what are the signs you've been talking about?
But can't you see?
My brother told
me. He's terribly nervous.
Well, he doesn't look it.
Oh, he's a superb actor. He hides it, but now look. His hands twitch.
Well, that's not a sign of death.
Listen, I know this play. He's blowing his lines. The other actors are covering for him. He shouldn't be on the stage.
Then why did they let him go on?
Well, tomorrow, after his marriage, he'll go on vacation. They just want to get all the performances they can out of him. Look.
This into your mind.
Banged his leg against that chair.
Well?
But that's not in the play.
Brother told me.
That's how Kevin was. Aimless, preoccupied. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
He just lit that cigarette, and now he puts it down. Now he's going to light another.
Well, that's a piece of business, isn't it?
No. He just forgot. He was smoking. Kevin would do that, too.
You see, my dear.
Look at him now. The life seems to be draining out of his body.
I did steal his...
He's losing his line.
I did steal...
Now, look.
Girl.
But that cigarette he put down.
But I...
Now it's rolling off the table into that pile of papers and rubbish.
Starting to smoke.
Because it's a fire.
Well, maybe
fire
that's supposed to be a part of the play.
But of course it isn't. It isn't. Oh, dear Lord. There's going to be a fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay in your seats. There's no danger.
Oh, terrified.
There is no danger.
Look, Lieutenant. Look at what's happening.
Theater, when there's danger of fire on stage, a stagehand immediately cuts the rope that holds the heavy asbestos curtain in place. The curtain comes crashing down, and anybody who might be standing on a spot where it falls can be killed if it hits them. And there he was. That's just where he was standing. You didn't have to be a doctor to recognize he was dead.
Well, Vince... It could be your girlfriend, Dr. Lindstrom, was right.
Inspector, she's not my girl.
Ah, quit fighting her. I believe her.
You believe her?
Yeah. After a while, you have to see the light. Carolyn Butler's doing something to these guys. What, how, I don't know. But they die. They all die the night before they get married.
Okay, okay. So what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
You mean you believe it and you're not going to do anything about it?
There's lots of things we can't do anything about. A lot of people get away with murder. We know they're guilty, but we can't touch them.
Somehow, I just can't believe it. That Butler girl seems so sincere, honest. I don't know what I was thinking of, but it was something I never felt before. And I couldn't even explain it. It got hold of me, and somehow or other, there I was, ringing her doorbell.
Oh, it's Lieutenant Pirelli. See, I remembered your name.
Yeah, may I come in, Miss Butler?
Miss Butler. I may very well remain Miss Butler for the rest of my life. Yes, please come in.
Thank you.
I really think I have set a record for engagements. Do they keep such records, I wonder? Won't you sit down? Drink?
No, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have realized you're on duty.
Well, to tell the absolute truth...
The absolute truth. I like that.
I'm not really on duty.
Oh?
Yeah, I just dropped by to see how you're doing.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
Yeah, and, I was wondering if you had any plans for dinner.
It so happens I do.
Oh. Well, maybe some other time.
But I intend to change them. I would much rather have dinner with you.
Oh?
I have this weakness, I told you, for strong men, exciting men.
Oh, I'm not really an exciting person.
And modest men. To you, I suppose danger and excitement are the everyday, ordinary commonplaces of your job.
Yes, I suppose that's true. I couldn't tell her all about it at dinner that night, so we continued the following night and the one after that. And soon we were having dinner together regularly. And I kind of liked that. We also discovered that both of us liked to hunt, fish, ride horses, climb mountains. It was wonderful.
You're a sly one, Vince. I have to find out about it by reading the paper?
Find out what?
Here. Pirelli Butler. Mrs. William Stephen Butler announces the engagement of her daughter, Carolyn Joy, to Police Lieutenant Anthony Pirelli, son of Mrs. Serafina Pirelli. Vince, how could you do this to me?
You want to be my best man, Jake?
Sure. Have you lived that long?
Now, that's nonsense, and you know it.
There was a time you didn't believe it was nonsense.
Jake, all that was before I knew her. She's so wonderful, so filled with life, so generous, so good.
When is the happy event?
A week from Sunday.
So soon. I can only wish you the best.
Okay, I'm up. Hello?
Vince, do you know what time it is?
Why? What's the matter, Jake?
Vince, it's 10 o'clock. You were due here at 8.
10 o'clock? It can't be 10 o'clock.
Vince, we gotta go see the commissioner. You get dressed and get down here.
Vince, what's wrong with you this morning?
Wrong? Nothing. What could be wrong?
First, you oversleep, and you're 2 hours late. That never happened before. And just now with the commissioner. You're in line to make captain of detectives. I could see he really wasn't very much impressed.
What do you mean?
He asked you about some ideas for increased efficiency. And you just sat there.
Yeah. Oh, funny thing, Jake. I don't know what happened to me, but my mind seemed to go blank.
I think you better see a doctor.
Why?
You've been acting strange all week. Absent-minded, forgetful. Now, look. Tomorrow's Sunday, your wedding day. Now, why don't you go and leave right now? Go home. You're nervous. I'll see you tomorrow at the church.
No. That isn't right. You're short-handed. I'll tell you what I'll do. I got to put in my shift on the stakeout.
I can spare a lieutenant for that.
Yeah, but Smitty's been on for 24 hours. Let me send him home. I'll stay till midnight.
Well, okay. He would really appreciate it.
Inspector Coleman?
Yes, ma'am. Can I help you?
Yes, I'm Martha Lindstrom.
Oh, we meet at last.
It's about Lieutenant Pirelli.
I know.
What do you know?
You're concerned. You're afraid he'll die tonight. And that he'll be number six.
Well, aren't you concerned?
Yeah.
Well, how can you just sit there?
Well, what can I do?
Talk to him.
I have talked to him.
You can't just let him be killed.
Dr. Lindstrom, if there's anything to what you're saying, you know it has to be.
But there must be some way to protect him.
You're in love with him, aren't you?
Well, I don't think that's germane to this discussion.
Well, tonight, he's as safe as he can be. He's on a stakeout. It's a quiet job.
Before midnight, Vince will die.
Well, I don't know anything we can do.
He's been acting strangely, hasn't he?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it happened to all of them. They lose their perception, their critical judgment, so death can overtake them.
But what can happen to Vince?
Who knows? Well, there's only one way to save him. Where is he?
He's parked over there, across the street. Vince?
He's asleep.
Vince? Vince!
What?
I told you to go home, Vince.
Oh.
And here you are, asleep on duty.
Oh, I'm okay, Jake. I just closed my eyes for a second.
Lieutenant.
What? Doctor, what are you doing here?
I want to save your life.
What are you talking about?
Break your engagement.
What?
That way you're safe. You're no longer her hero, her intended. She no longer has to bring you to the Valhalla, the place for heroes.
Jake, what are you doing here?
Remember
with her?
Charles Russell. You saw him die.
That was an accident.
Yes, because he couldn't think straight. He couldn't hear. He couldn't think. He was half dead before that asbestos curtain hit him, and you're half dead now.
I'm okay.
Recognize Carolyn Butler for what she is.
She's beautiful.
It's the face of death. You don't love her.
Yes, I do. I do love her.
How can you love her? How can you love death? You love life. You love me.
I love you.
Say it. Say you love me and you're free from her. Say it.
I...
Say it before it's too late. Say you love me.
Hey, that guy driving the truck, he's acting crazy.
Say you love me.
Hey, he's going to hit the car, Vince.
Say
get
it.
Out.
Say you love me. I love you. Say you love me.
I love you.
Oh.
I love you, Dr. Lindstrom. I love you.
Well, Vince didn't become number six because he broke the engagement in the nick of time. Or maybe because the truck driver was able to apply his brakes in time. We always give you more than one perspective on these things. However, Miss Carolyn Butler is still around, still looking for a hero. So, if you're a hero, what can we tell you? Only that I shall return shortly.
Children make a lot of noise, but to me it's a wonderful sound. They have a lot of energy, a lot of playing to do before they take on the serious world of adulthood. Every day they take on a bit more of this wonderful world. I guess we're lucky, because there are so many places in the world where the children are too weak, even for play. Bangladesh, Honduras, right here at home. They're weak from the lack of protein and essential vitamins, weak from the bad water and the parasites that rob them of important nutrients, a childhood of tears instead of laughter. And even if they do manage to become adults, their minds and limbs will be stunted by chronic malnutrition. You can help a child to grow up strong and independent, maybe even be one of tomorrow's leaders. Send your contribution to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
Where do the old gods go after all their worshippers desert them? Do the old gods die? Or do they still walk among us as they did in the days when the earth was young? And do they still fall in love with humans? And does the love of a god mean what it always meant? That the mortal loved one dies young, but lives forever in paradise? These and similar problems are aired here for all they're worth 7 times each week. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Marion Seldes, Patricia Elliott, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, how are you feeling, Liz?
I don't know. Far away, but still scared.
Oh, now you mustn't be.
I won't lose my leg.
You mustn't think about that.
Even if it's saved, will I dance again?
Whatever is to be, just leave it in God's hands.
It's so easy for you. Words, just words.
No, never just words, Liz. I've stayed with you because I wanted to help you find strength. Don't let it be for nothing. Let me have achieved at least that.
Nurse! Nurse! Somebody, help!
What is it? What's happened?
Chaplain Morgan. He just suddenly collapsed.
Nurse, take care of the patient. Orderly, get me another nurse from the floor right away.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The presidential party has left the Philippines and is heading for Hawaii. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Air Force One took off from Manila minutes ago after Mr. Ford thanked Philippine President Marcos for his hospitality. The two men held talks and issued a communique saying that negotiations on renewing leases for American military bases in the Philippines should be conducted with Philippine sovereignty in mind. Marcos is on the record as saying that he wants to take control of those bases and rent them back to the United States for a price. The two leaders made a trip a few hours ago to Corregidor Island, known as the Rock, during World War II. Phil Jones went along.
The band's playing here at Corregidor as President Ford, Philippine President Marcos, have arrived by yacht on this historic rock located about 26 miles west of Manila. President Ford now coming to place a wreath at the memorial for General Jonathan Wainwright and some 12,000 American and Philippine soldiers who surrendered to the Japanese on May 6, 1942. The president, accompanied by Mrs. Ford, now walking up to the memorial here. Two large wreaths, one saying the President of the Republic of the Philippines, the other one the President of the United States. This particular island turned back to the Philippines in 1947. Bill Jones, CBS News, with the president on Corregidor.
When Mr. Ford lands in Hawaii, he will take part in ceremonies for Pearl Harbor Day, and during another appearance, he'll make what's being billed as a major foreign policy speech. More news in a minute.
Tonight, we're at a Sambo's restaurant talking to another late-night moonlight person, a dream therapist.
That's right.
Well, tell me, sometimes I wake up early in the morning after dreaming and I'm hungry and...
Psychologically, it's sound to get up and have a moonlighter special at the nearest Sambo's, and there's one not far away, believe me.
Mm-hmm. So
they're $1.99, and as Freud once said, ground beefsteak and double-A ranch eggs. That was Freud's idea.
Not Jung.
No, you think Jung, but you eat Freud.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs. Freud eggs, that's a Moonlighter special.
Oh, yes, Sambo's Moonlighter special. Tell us more about it.
Two Freud eggs.
Uh-huh.
Ground beef steak.
Oh, yes.
A plate of toast. Uh-huh. All the coffee you can drink for $1.99.
Right, that's Sambo's Moonlighter special just for late-night people. Only from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Remember now, you late-nighters,
mm-hmm.
get up.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Sambo's, mm-hmm. have a Moonlighter special, or any of their desserts.
Mm-hmm.
You'll think you're still dreaming.
Well, that's very therapeutic.
The Indonesian government acknowledged reports today that it has invaded Portuguese Timor and that the capital has been captured. The Indonesian foreign minister, Adam Malik, told reporters that pro-Indonesian forces in the territory had invited Indonesian troops in to help restore security in the city. Malik said the troops found many women and children killed by Fretilin forces before they abandoned the city. The Fretilin movement recently declared the territory independent. It is but one of several rival factions battling for control of the territory, which Portugal has pledged to give up. London police have rejected two demands made by gunmen who have been holding a couple and a child hostage in an apartment house since Saturday night. The four gunmen want immunity from prosecution and a free plane ride to Dublin. Bob Dyke has more on the story.
Scotland Yard Commander Ernest Bond said the gunmen may be the terrorists responsible for a series of London bombings that this fall and winter alone have killed 8 persons.
They have said that they are members of the Provisional IRA, and this could well be that we've got here the little team, the cell we've been looking for, who have been committing acts of terrorism in London over the past 18 months, 2 years.
The hostages, Henry Matthews and his wife Diane, are said to be not hurt, but the gunmen are heavily armed, and earlier in the siege, they shot and wounded a policeman. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
Now this message.
The time, 1856. The ship USS Supply, commanded by Lieutenant David Dixon Porter, sails from Smyrna, Egypt, with perhaps the most unique cargo ever carried on a naval vessel. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. The cargo was purchased under congressional appropriation to be employed for military purposes. The cargo, 50 Egyptian camels. Secretary of War Jefferson Davis believed camels could speed troop movements in the Southwest due to their stamina in hot weather. The camels were unloaded at Powderhorn, Texas, in May of 1856 and were used with varying degrees of success, even later hauling bales of cotton for the Confederates during the Civil War. But soldiers and camels regard each other with suspicion, so they were eventually sold out of the military. Some of them were bought by a circus, some were turned loose in Arizona. A few were even seen as late as 1905. Camels from Egypt were brought over, and the Navy was there.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
Negotiations continue at this hour to try to get a new contract between United Airlines and striking service workers. No flights are leaving on Sunday, and the airline says that passengers with United tickets will be flown to their destinations on other airlines. The 16,000-member Machinists Union is demanding higher wages. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.